Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So some years ago, I saw a weird toy in a store somewhere. It was sort of shapeless, nondescript, made out of some fuzzy fabric. It was stuffed. It was about 6 inches long, maybe 3 inches wide. The one I bought was sort of a dull sort of blue. I wish I'd kept it to show you. I have no idea what happened to it. But you'll have to use your imagination. As I recall, this toy didn't do anything. It didn't squeak. It didn't squawk. It didn't talk or move. It didn't have wheels or horns or eyes that would blink. It didn't drink from a bottle. It wasn't programmable. I bought it, though. I bought it because of its name. It was called a What's-It. I liked that, a What's-It, as in, what is it? Nothing elegant about that, right? And I admit that I was probably the only person in the whole United States that bought one of those things. And I bought it because it reminded me of this story in Exodus. After all, we hear in Exodus that the Hebrew people walked out of their tents in the wilderness one morning and found this white stuff all over the ground, and they said, "What is it? What's it? What is it? What is this white stuff? What's it doing here? What are we supposed to do with it? What is it?" Well, in Hebrew, the way you say that is mana. Manna. That's what they named that stuff. They named it What's It? Manna. But think about it. Manna was really important to the people of Israel. And the term manna is a term that people know, recognize, know how to use. You see, it was because of God's gift of manna to the people of Israel out in the wilderness that they were able to live and thrive for the 40 years of wandering before they could enter the promised land. And I'm sure they got tired of the stuff. Every morning, 6 days a week, they walked out of their tents and gathered up manna, everyday manna. Not strawberry manna, not peanut butter manna, not chocolate manna. Just plain old manna. A little like coriander seed, the Bible tells us. Manna was their bread. It was their food. But more important than that, I think, manna was God's provision for the people that he loved. Manna was the sign of God's care and presence. Manna was their daily bread. We pray for that in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, our manna. So here's the story. I'm preaching out of Exodus. Last week we talked about baby Moses, right? Wasn't that last week? That runs together in my mind sometimes. Moses stands before Pharaoh, argues with him, calls down the plagues, and he finally is able to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, where they had been living for generations and where they had become slaves. They were immigrant people. They were poor but numerous, and the Egyptians had forced them to work building the pyramids. They had to make the bricks, but they were not given the straw needed for making the bricks. Their work quota was increased over and over again. The Pharaoh ordered the killing of the newborn boys and the general repression of the Jewish people. It was a tough, horrible life in Egypt. And the people were greatly relieved to get away from there when Moses led them out. Still, once they got settled in the routine of life in the desert, they saw that that wasn't any picnic either. And in fact, picnic is an apt term for it, because they had, yes, no masters and no brutal work, but on the other hand, they had very little food. No meat, no bread, no water. And they had to keep traveling, traveling and traveling. So they started complaining. And it's hard to blame them for complaining. That kind of life, I would be complaining too, and I think you would also. It turns out Moses got pretty frustrated with those people. I don't know that I blame him for that, because it wasn't easy for him managing the needs of thousands of people in 12 tribes, traveling out in the wilderness, and him with very little experience as a leader after all. No wonder he was frustrated, and he went to God and complained about them complaining. And really, we pastors like Moses, we get frustrated when people of the church complain about stuff. I don't mean to say anything personal here, but it does get a little hard. And we complain. Once Harry was said, "Jenny, if you want to be a minister, you're going to have to take it in your stride." I said, "Harry, it's like I'm dragging a bag of rocks uphill." Now, that wasn't here. That was 15 years ago. About 15 churches back, I think. Well, maybe only six. But what I want you to do is look at how God responds when the people complain and when Moses complains to God. Was God frustrated and angry and impatient? No, not really. You see, God heard the complaints of the people just as God had heard the cries of his people in Egypt. God heard with compassion, and God provided what they needed. God provided manna. And the fact I want to lift up for all of us today is that God does hear the cries of people. God hears the cries of people without power in the flooded Carolinas due to Hurricane Florence. God hears the hungry cries of children in our own communities, where of all American households with children, 16% are considered to be food insecure. 16% of all families with children. Did you know that term, food insecure? That's what they call it now. And of all American households with children that are headed by single women, the American households headed by single women that have children in the household, 30% are considered to be food insecure. That's a lot. And of all black, non-Hispanic households in America, with or without children, 22% are considered to be food insecure. I could go on. There are a whole bunch of categories I found on that website, the Department of Agriculture, 2017. There are lots of hungry cries for God to hear, and we know that God hears them. Likewise, God hears the cries of refugees in war-torn countries. God hears the cries of the hurt and the grieving and the lonely and the frightened. God hears their cries just as God heard the cries and complaints of the people of Israel in the wilderness. So let's remember that. God hears people's cries. God hears you and God hears me. God hears our cries. And having heard the people's cries in this story, God provided. God provided manna every morning. God provided meat in the form of quail that landed on the ground every evening. And God provided water. God's provisions in the wilderness, just as God's provisions for us, are abundant and gracious. For God provides what people need. So on God's side, there are two things for us to learn. Two things. First, that God hears our cries. God hears the cries of people in need, and God provides abundantly and graciously. I like how Abby says this is two, and this one is three. She's got it down. So that's what we learn about God. God hears and God provides. But let's look at what we learn on the people side of the equation. First, we learn that we need to trust God. That's what this is all about, isn't it? Notice that God didn't give the people a week's worth of provisions or a month's worth of provisions. He gave them enough for that day. So with manna, what God did was test the trust of the people, that daily trust. God told them, I'll give you bread every morning. The manna will be out there for you every morning. You can go out each morning and gather what your family needs for that day. And he told them, don't gather up more than you need. Just gather up what you need. But he went on to say, now I don't want you to work on the Sabbath. I don't want you to work on the seventh day. So on the sixth day, I'll give you the double amount. You go out and gather twice as much as you need. So you won't need to gather it on the seventh day. So what they found was that those who chose not to follow those instructions were going to have some trouble. Anybody who gathered more than they needed on one day, so they had leftovers, the next morning they found out those leftovers had spoiled. They'd gone bad. You couldn't eat them. Except on the seventh day, because they had to gather a double amount, and on the seventh day, that second amount did not spoil. It was fresh as if they had just gathered it. What a mysterious and wonderful thing. But those who didn't gather a double amount on the sixth day went out there and there was nothing there. They had nothing to gather and no food for the seventh day. So the people had to do two things. They had to trust God to gather only what they needed for the day, trusting God to provide the next day as God promised. But they also had to obey God's instructions about how much they gathered and which day it would be. They needed to trust and they needed to obey. So my dad used to sing that in a song. How many of you know that song? Trust and obey, remember? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So we too need to trust God and to follow the instructions, to obey the instructions God gives us. But maybe there's one more thing. Maybe Abby can have a third finger. Maybe there's one more thing for us to consider here on our side, and that is that we need to listen to the cries of others like our God does and do what we can to meet their needs so we can trust God for our needs and obey the instructions that God has given us. But we need to be compassionate as well. Our God is generous, and we need to find ways to be generous also. There are many things that we do as a church in mission, in meeting the needs for others, and I'm sure there are many ways that each of you helps others in your own personal ways, whether it's writing a check for some agency or doing something to help a neighbor or being involved as a volunteer in some important way. Our own mission committee is going to meet tomorrow morning. They are always talking about ways for us to do more, to be more effective and generous in what we do. So take manna bags, for example. Here's one. We gather up manna bags. Let's see. I see bottled water and socks. I think that's socks. And toothpaste and a granola bar and a toothbrush. We've got manna bags out there, right, nicely put in a Ziploc bag out there, and you could hand those to someone that you know has a need. They're out there ready for you to pick up. And I recently saw a video clip about a man, an interesting man. I don't know that he was highly educated. He wasn't a preacher, probably not a professor. I don't know what he was. But he had gotten to know some street people, people who lived on the street, were homeless, lived in part of the town where he lived. And he got to know them and interact with them, take them food now and then. But one day he asked them, "What do you really wish for? What do you really want or need?" And their answer surprised him. "A shower," is what they said. "We need a shower." Well, he thought about that. Thought about it a while and prayed about it, I guess. And he decided he would do something about it. After all, he asked them, "What do you need?" And they told him. So how could he help them meet that need? So he got a trailer that had a shower in it. He hitched it to his truck. We do have some people here that have trucks, I know that. And he started taking the shower trailer out to the homeless folk in his community on Saturdays. I should have written down what he called it. He called it something like Soap for Hope. You like that? Or maybe it was Hope in Soap. I'm not sure what it was. But he didn't stop there. After a while, taking the shower out, people began to watch for him, and they'd line up single file to get a shower. He started recruiting funding and help, and now he takes the shower wagon, but also another trailer with fresh, clean clothing hanging on racks for people to choose a clean outfit to wear after their shower. I'm sure they all came from Goodwill or the Salvation Army or someplace. They weren't tags on new, but they were clean. So they could have their shower and put on clean clothes. And he started playing music from his truck. And so as people waited, they would be dancing and talking and sharing. And he started providing food. I'm not sure what the food was, whether it was always hot dogs or stew or just what. Food and music and dancing on Saturday and a shower and clean clothes, that's manna for you. That's manna for you. Well, you probably didn't notice, even those of you who opened your hymn book and sang the hymn out of the hymn book, the name of the tune for our first hymn. Merrily did. The tune, the hymn was God Who Stretched the Spangled Heavens. Did you even know that hymn tunes have names? Did you know that? It turns out if you open your hymn book and see the title of the hymn, underneath it will be the title of the tune. And the name of the tune, To God Who Stretched the Spangled Heavens, the name of that tune is Holy Manna. And of course, that's why I chose that hymn for today. And besides, I like it. And you sang it like you liked it. It keeps moving. It's peppy. But that hymn is a prayer addressed to God. And I want to read to you the third verse, and it can be our closing prayer for this sermon. Please, pray with me. Dear God, as each far horizon beckons, may it challenge us anew. Children of creative purpose, serving others, God, and honoring you, may our dreams prove rich with promise, each endeavor well begun. Great Creator, give us guidance till our goals and yours are one. Amen. As we come in prayer today, I want to lift up the birth of Blair Brooklyn Gentry and the joy of her family. I want to give thanks for the life of our brother John Guthrie and give thanks for his family gathering with us today, but with one another, to celebrate his life. And I'm also going to give thanks for people working on roofs, in spite of all the issues. And I'm going to give thanks for those who respond to the needs of people in hurricane and storm-torn communities. Let us pray. Listening God, generous God, loving God, thank you for the manna that you provided for your people in the desert, in the wilderness. Thank you for the manna you give to us every day, that daily bread, that evidence of your love and presence and grace in our lives. Thank you. There is so much need. There are so many voices crying out for help. Certainly those who are hungry, who are food insecure, for whom so much of their income must go to rent, to food, to basic needs, that there's not much left over. We lift them up before you. We lift them up for ourselves that we might find ways to be aware and to provide for the needs around us. Perhaps some of those people are here in this room now. Perhaps some of us struggle week to week, month to month, even day to day for the needs that are ours. Help us to feel your presence and be assured of your care. Be with those who have been beset by rain and wind now for 3 days and face yet more. Be with those who face 20 and 30 inches of rain and what that might do in their communities and to their homes and to their trees and to their spirits. Be with those who don't have extra to provide when there is a need, those who don't have insurance, those who don't have cars, those who can't get away. Be with them. Thank you that the Presbyterians can provide with our disaster assistance program. So be with those who manage that program and who have already been sent in to respond and make a difference. And we pray, Lord, for the police and the fire departments and the ambulance drivers and mayors and city council people and governors and doctors and nurses and all who are sent to respond to these needs. Our hearts can be heavy when we think of the needs, not only in that one part of the world, but throughout the world. There is so much need. But there is joy too. Even in the sorrow of letting go our dear friend and beloved John Guthrie, we celebrate that he knew you, that he knew he would be with you, and that he is free from suffering. And we give thanks for everything in John, all in him that was good and kind and faithful, that he was able to be an example for others and a delight. And on the other end of life, we give thanks for Blair Brooklyn and her parents, for her safe arrival and for the promise of her life just now beginning. We give you thanks for children, for families, for couples, for individuals, for people of faith. And we give you thanks that you hear our cries and our prayers. Hear us now as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll be singing Break Thou the Bread of Life. If anybody's opened their hymnal, I'll let them tell me what the name of this tune is. No, Bread of Life. Let's sing about the Bread of Life.